I was just telling Lisa that I had emailed Waka Kotahi, NZTA, about State Highway 23 and the...
Queenslade Road and...
Yes, that's the one, because that was talked about at the community board meeting.
It was last, talked about at the community board meeting.
Yeah, and people weren't happy with that intersection. NZTA is happy with that intersection. They said they came and they checked it out, and they're happy with the signs that suggest people should... Well, they recommend a speed of 65, which... We'll see, but that's interesting because that's their recommended speed for the corner. That's different to what's happening when you get round the corner.
That's exactly right. It's a challenge, isn't it? And, you know, for us in council, our hands are tied. We can only advocate to have work done to make that area safer for our drivers, for those coming out of Greenslade Road and for those turning into Greenslade Road. And obviously when you're coming from Hamilton and you come around that sweeping corner and that there might be a hidden queue there. So certainly I know that from our staff, they have in the past regularly championed for action to be taken in that area. But again, it comes down to, you know, that it being a state highway as opposed to a local road.
Yeah, and so they said that another sign would be too distracting for motorists, basically, is what they're saying. I did ask about, because they've been doing some consultation, about changing speed limits on State Highway 23. The website was saying in the coming months they would be doing some formal consultation, and that's all they've said in this.
That's right. Well,
because they haven't set a date.
Yeah, well, you might remember pre-pandemic they had gone out to the community. I think this has actually been an ongoing consultation for probably close to 3 years, if not longer now, around the speed limits on State Highway 23, right through from Redland to Hamilton. So hopefully they'll progress that sooner rather than later. And, of course, at our next council meeting, we will be ratifying our decisions around the speed limits through our speed limit bylaw review, which we had in council last month, which has seen the lowering of the speed limit to 60 kilometres from the Raglan side of Simon Te Whero's studio on State Highway 23. So that will be put in place once that is actually ratified through council.
But the hold up with the next bit, which includes Greenslade Road, and asked about that as well.
Yeah,
and they haven't even got any money in place yet to fix the culvert there.
The culvert, yeah. And we don't want to take it on board as council because it's about $2 million worth of work. So if that comes back to us, it comes down to the ratepayers then to somehow fund that work. So before that part of State Highway 23 is revocated back into council, we want that work done.
Yeah. So anyway, they move at the speed of glacier. When's their next? Because they have a three-yearly long-term plan like you guys do. And did they say when that one?
I don't know when theirs is, Aaron.
Oh, I'm looking. I don't think they actually gave. They're very good at being non-specific. They haven't even given a date for when their next round happens.
It's probably on there somewhere. It's just a matter of finding it.
So we're currently in the 21 to 24. So 2025 will be the first possibility of it happening. That depends on their internal priorities, I guess. Okay, so let's put that away and come to other things I wanted to ask you about. I haven't talked because I didn't see you a couple of weeks ago. So the local COVID response, are we still even doing rats distribution?
We are doing rats distribution. In fact, the DHB have been out every day at the same time, 9:30 to 11:30, 7 days a week doing the rats distribution. I'm not sure when they'll finish that up. We've just got confirmation for our community connector role that we can order rats tests to have for us in the community connector role, so we will start doing that next week because, as you know, we've received some funding from MSD for the community connector role, which is basically to support communities across the region, well, actually across New Zealand, to respond and support families and whānau within our rohe who are isolating or who need support because of COVID-19. So that's fantastic. So we've got that funding for the next 16 months.
Right, that's a long time.
Yeah, so it's a part-time role. And, of course, we've just embarked on a partnership, actually, with the Whaingaro Marae Collective, which is all of the marae under the umbrella of Pui Hākena, to support our whānau who are isolating and who need help due to COVID-19. So that's fantastic. So we're really excited about that as a wider group.
Yep.
And, of course, looking at not just COVID-19, but a resilience building for responding to civil defence emergency should they arise. So I think we're in a really good position as a community. Our collaboration with across organisations is really neat. And this morning, in fact, we've got a meet and greet with our whatawhata whānau who are coming over, because through our COVID response and our community connector and our 0800 number, we've extended that now to our whānau at Omairoa Marae and also Te Papaaro to over at Whatawhata.
So they can call 0800 Raglan?
They can call 0800 Raglan. And so if they're needing things like kaipaks and things like that, they've got a coordinator for whatawhata who we can send the details of that whānau to, and they'll respond with kaipaks and things like that. And then we can also network with the services closer to whatawhata to provide support for whānau over there, because they're Ngāti Mahanga Hauriwa, so have very close ties with Whaingaroa, just like we do with them.
Yeah. So once we have our own connector set up here, does that mean that the DHB won't need to come out to distribute, or will they still be doing that?
I think they'll still be doing that. I need to actually speak with Liz from the DHB, who's coordinating the COVID response for the region, how they envisage that happening, because I know that the numbers have dropped off quite considerably. So if our community connector becomes the distributor, that would be really handy. Then people can actually pre-book, and the RATS test can be made available for them. They just need to order them online, and we'll have them here, and we'll be able to mark them off. But we also need to have access into the system to say that they've been picked up. So that's another part of the system that we need to do. And then part of our other partnership with Pui Hākena is that we are about to engage what they call a case navigator for Raglan Naturally, under the Raglan Naturally umbrella, which resource will be utilised to support our non-Māori whānau and our Māori whānau, obviously, who are isolating at home and need support, whether it's the distribution of the RATS, kai support, or even, for example, yesterday we had a call from Raglan Medical asking, did we have capacity or volunteer to pick up an older couple that had an appointment at the doctor's but didn't have transport, so we were able to support the medical centre. So it'll be a whole variety of things that the community connector will be able to undertake in that role. So it's quite exciting.
Yeah.
I had a brief chat with Mike Rarere here at Raglan House about how that role can be utilised to support where they see some gaps and they might need some resource to help support the work that they're doing. So
I had a question in there. You said that the DHB is saying that the numbers are going down. Do they?
I didn't actually say the numbers are going. They didn't say that.
Or dropping from off.
Our observations of those who are picking up the RATS test at the rugby grounds.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So no.
Not case numbers.
Yeah. Not case numbers.
That's what I wanted to clarify.
Yeah. So I don't know what the case numbers are for our area, so you would need to get clarity about that from the DHB.
They're not giving that anymore.
Yeah, so the numbers of people picking up their RATS have dropped, but that may very well go up again because they're anticipating another wave. And I was reading that it might be in May. So we're from our experience. We can be prepared, and I think that our response has been really good, and that the collaboration between the organisations with the DHB and MSC coming on board and working with Mike Edmonds and his team at the Marae, that's been great, and that we'll be able to have a resource to support our families outside of our Māori whānau will be really good too. So,
can you give us the background about what Mike Edmonds' role is and how that came about, because that's new to me in the last few months.
So
Mike,
reasonably,
Mike used to work at the council office, if people might know him from there.
And he works for the marae, for Poihakina. So he's coordinated the Whaingaroa marae collective. So that's sort of the marae within the Whaingaroa area. So more takotako, te papatapu, te tihi o moerangi, Poihakina, obviously, Aramiro, and Waingaro. So bringing, together the marae committee so we can have a collective response for our whānau, and Mike and Kayla Lord, they're coordinating that, and they're working with the DHB and have got a community wellbeing hub funding for that, and the marae has generously gone into partnership with Raglan Naturally, so we can share having a what they call a case navigator, which is someone to oversee the COVID positive whānau in the Raglan ward, and supporting them with their daily checks for 7 days whilst they're in isolation, and that might go on longer, because obviously families mean more than one person in the household.
My experience
is my partner got COVID, then 3 days later I tested positive, and then a week later my son tested positive, and now my daughter's in isolation, so she comes out on Sunday. So, you know, it can be an ongoing longer than a seven-day relationship as the case navigator.
Yeah.
So it's pretty awesome that we'll have that resource, and we're hoping that that will start next week under the umbrella of Raglan Naturally.
So you're talking about a group of four people there, whereas we know there's whānau much larger than that.
Oh, absolutely.
It could go on forever, couldn't it?
Yeah, it could. And so that's why it's great to have that resource where we are able to support each other in our organisations, but also support our whānau.
Yeah.
So the 0800 number, Raglan, 0800 Raglan number. You know, we really encourage the community to utilise that if they've got questions, and it doesn't even necessarily have to be about COVID-19. It might be, who do I contact to get support around, you know, I can't pay my rent, and we can, you know, put them through to the community house. So it's actually a neat resource for us to have as a community to be able to access.
Of a citizens advice bureau, you know those things.
Used to have that, eh? Well,
yeah.
Sort of. I don't know, but you know, it's a resource that over the coming weeks we'll be able to fine tune what that is for the community.
Okay. Now onto other topics. The vaccine pass system stops on.
It gets uplifted on Monday.
Does that make a difference to any of the council's requirements for people entering council premises? Do we know yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We made that decision last week, actually. It went out on social media last Friday, I think
it was. That one.
The council made that decision. Well, in fact, you know, that was delegated to make those decisions around that rather than coming to full council was Gavin Irons, our chief executive, the Mayor Alan Sanson, and Eugene Patterson. So when the government announcement last Thursday, I think it was, came out, and that said from the 4th of April at 11:59 p.m., the requirement for vaccine passports will be uplifted. So they met, I believe, last Friday to make that decision. And so for our council facilities, which are our libraries, our pools, museums, the requirement for a vaccination passport is uplifted on Monday morning at the start of business, actually, rather than waiting for 11:59 on Monday evening. We decided that it makes way better sense for the business to open on Monday, where there isn't a requirement for the vaccine passports, which is great. However, people coming into our facilities will be asked to wear a mask.
Well, we're still in the red setting. Well, as far as we know, that'll be. Hey, can you just push the microphone? No, push it back a bit toward me.
Is that better?
It's not like this one. This one has to be close.
Yeah.
Your one needs to be further away. So, yeah, I was thinking of what we're going to do at the radio station, and suddenly dawned on me, well, we'll still be in red setting, and we've still got policies around that anyway. So, like, I know at the last community board, it was like, oh, maybe the next community board meeting will be in person, but I guess not if it's in the red setting.
I think it could be in person.
It could be. This is what I don't know. Like, I'm trying to work out how different it actually is without the vaccine pass. In some areas, it might not be that different.
Well, those people who don't have a pass can now, from Monday, will be able to access all of our council facilities. The halls are a little bit different because it will be up to the hall committees once again to make that decision. And I'm sure they will probably uplift that, but, you know, the requirement for the vaccination passport. But, you know, there will be a limit to the gatherings indoors, and same with outdoors as well. But it's, you know, it will be a sigh of relief for people to be able to access those community spaces again, hey, that are well loved, particularly our libraries.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, while we're on council stuff, anyone else announced they're running for mayor?
Axel Beck has announced not that I'm aware of, but, you know, once it comes closer to the time that, you know, to the time of, closer to the election time, sorry about bubbling that, you know, I'm sure there'll be a number of people that will come out of the woodwork, but certainly from my fellow councillors, the only declaration has been from Axel Beck, which I think is great. Axel is a really thoughtful, inclusive person, and I'm, you know, I had a chat to him the other day, and, you know, things like climate action are high on his agenda around, you know, decision-making in council, that, you know, rather than it being something out to the side, it will become a lens that we put over every decision that we make, given, you know, the need to take action. And we had a chat about making things a bit more fun. And how do we engage our communities where decision-making is more inclusive of, I guess, that localism that, you know, Local Government New Zealand has been talking about for a number of years, and which Bob McLeod has been a passionate advocate for.
Yeah.
So, you know, so no doubt over the coming months we'll hear more about what Axel's intentions are if he were to become mayor.
Yeah, well, he'll be certainly someone I want to interview when the time comes for the campaign.
I'm just going back to the vaccination passports as well. That includes Papahua Holiday Park as well, Raglan Holiday Park. So the vaccination pass requirements will be uplifted from the holiday park as well from Monday.
That'll be quite significant for them, won't it?
It will be. And also we had about 10% of our annuals actually couldn't come on site because of the vaccination pass requirement. Leanne, our manager, has in place, you know, a whole set of processes to keep both staff and others safe who are coming into the camp as well. You know, so they'll continue those safe practices whilst we're, you know, still have COVID circulating within our communities.
So something that gave an insight into the way COVID's affecting things was at the community board meeting, Gareth Bellamy, the roading manager, was saying of the 120 staff in the, what they call the Roading Alliance, 36 or 38 were away that week. Is it? Was that the peak of that? I'm hoping that was the peak. Do we have any?
I actually don't know because, you know, our staff come from all over.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking at works, doing the footpath on Wainui Road, looking at actually we'd probably have to pull a crew from Thames to come over do that work. And so, you know, like all organisations, when people are COVID positive, you know, isolating for 7 days, like council isn't the only business who's been impacted, but certainly it puts a lot of pressure on our scheduled works program.
Just put work back.
It does put work back, and we had a discussion about that in council in our infrastructure committee meeting about how do we manage that. And it's with great difficulty and challenges, but it's the reality of our work program for every organisation at the moment.
Yeah. Now, onto something else that Gareth said at the meeting was he was talking about still trying to get an internal bus service within Raglan, going for perhaps the option now is to go for a 2-year trial and get the funding direct from council.
Has to be funded through council. So
he has to approach the chief financial officer,
It has to be because it's it's not difficult.
Not difficult, but
there are other communities as well that we have to consider.
Yes.
Who have the same desires as us, because I think our funding from Waka Kotahi was short of about $11 million. And of course, that has an impact on the funding from Regional Council, who, you know, also work on public transport services. So we have to think about how we can make things happen within our communities through the budgets that we have, rates funded locally, you know, through Waikato District Council, as opposed to getting funding elsewhere. So that's a real challenge, because we had anticipated being able to do that. You know, there was, it went off with a hiss and a roar around having that local bus service. So once again, you know, we'll have to look at what that will look like in, over time for Raglan and for our other communities as well.
Any insight into the odds that the CFO will say, well, yes, we'll try
you know,
that?
Alison has to take into consideration the costs and the other communities that have a desire to have a similar service as well, and what that will look like and how that will impact on our, you know, on our budget. So, you know, Alison and the team, including Colin, they want to do the best for our community, so they'll work really hard on that. May not be as big as we had initially wanted it.
I guess it all depends what they've got coming across their desk, doesn't it, really? And we don't know what that is at this stage.
Yeah.
Okay. The crossing. So there was talk about putting a crossing down by Orca for people walking up from the jetty, from the footpath there.
Yeah, and that was part of the Places for People. You know, when we were looking at initially the Places for People outside of Orca, and it being part of that project, but obviously that hasn't come to fruition. We've got the two parklets, obviously, so that's something that we will need to look at. But yeah, that was actually part of the Places for People project.
So, but there was talk at the meeting about putting some kind of crossing there anyway, or maybe raised paved
maybe
area
raised,
or something.
Yeah,
has that progressed any further since
no.
then? Okay.
No.
That's all right. We're just trying to catch up. I've got my notes from the community board meeting. Let me see. Oh, we talked about the Greenslade Road junction. Oh, one of the things that Gareth, the roading manager, has said had been kind of put off because of the lack of staffing was what was going to happen on Rose Street down by the wharf. We've got a problem there with people trying to park by the wharf. They drive up Rose Street, they park half on, half off the road, they get stuck because it's a steep street.
It's a steep street.
It's a bit of a mess.
It's a skinny street. So,
And what was going to happen there? Yellow dotted lines, maybe?
Yellow dotted lines on one side was my understanding. And I'll actually have to follow up on that for you, Aaron.
Well, the message was it's been put off because there's not enough staff.
Yeah.
So it'll happen, I guess. Yeah. All
so
right.
I was just reading a message from my daughter saying, I want waffles.
Can she have waffles, Councillor Thompson?
She's in isolation at home. So.
Oh, I see.
I'd add that as a fun Friday fact. The messages one gets while you're on the radio from isolating young people at home.
I sometimes get calls from mine during interviews. I have to not answer them. The food waste closes today, the food waste
That's
consultation.
Right.
We've had lots of, I hear, lots of people putting in their opinions.
So hopefully we've got lots of people who have submitted. You know, last time we got over 700, which is fantastic. And I'm looking forward to seeing and reading, you know, the feedback from the community and the input. And I've seen some online as well on the notice board. And it's been, from what I can see, really respectful and lots of good points coming up. So obviously we haven't seen any of that or confirmation of numbers as yet because we don't want to preempt any bias, but I'm looking forward to having that report come to council and for our deliberations on the food waste.
Okay, yep, so coming soon. And folks, it's your last chance today at 5 o'clock.
Yep,
to
get that in. If you haven't already done it, I really encourage you to go in and have your say.
Now, there was talk about having a community swimming pool, something to do with Rangatahi at the community board meeting. Was Gabriel there?
Gabriel was the one
so
that did
talk to
it.
Her last week.
Yes, so I haven't spoken to Gabriel about that meeting. She had a meeting with Sam from Rangitahi almost two weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and I was busy, so I couldn't attend. So I'm not sure what came out of that. I haven't had an opportunity to touch base.
Early days, though, right?
Early days, that's right. Isn't it fantastic that there's a possibility?
Yeah, because I really thought that would be a hard one.
It probably will be a hard one, but it doesn't mean that it will be insurmountable.
Yeah, yeah. The coastal reserves oversight, some kind of community, there was talk about some kind of connection to stakeholders to replace the coastal reserves committee that disappeared quite a while ago now.
And that's been tricky.
Can you tell us about that? Is that your area or is it not? No, Dennis and Gabriel had the challenge in my notes.
Dennis and Gabriel. So we've yet to determine what that looks like. And, you know, we need to probably have a stakeholder quiz. So with the users of those areas, the fishing club, you know, the surf club, hapu.
It's a long list when you get into it.
There is a long list.
Soccer, you know, people have club, bike club.
Yeah, there's, you know, and it's not just for Wainui Reserve. It's also for Manu Bay.
And Papahua.
And Papahua. So, you know, there are a lot of interested parties in those areas as well. So we had proposed that through the community board that we'd like to have at least one stakeholder hui a year with council about the reserves and how that's progressing, what's happening. So watch this space.
Okay. The places for people, the parklets, the community response came back and someone read out the stats which I've got here and they were overwhelmingly supportive.
And supportive. So that's fantastic.
So they'll be staying.
So yeah. Isn't that a great result? And they have been well utilised, particularly in these COVID times where people can sit outside and still participate in our community spaces. So I think they've been a great success. And there might be a desire moving into the future to look at what other opportunities there might be for other community projects of that nature. Obviously, we're going to be Gareth, I think he's marked out or spot painted the angle parking for the top of Bow Street as well.
Are you pointing? Is he doing it right now?
I know. He's not doing it right now.
This is our roading manager, Gareth, who lives in Raglan.
Yeah, so he was going to mark up on both sides of Bow Street out here for more angle parking. So
right, so people liked that spot of angle parking down by Oso Bar enough that you're doing more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there's plenty of room for us to do that. So we'll gain a few car parks in that. So watch the space. So that will be marked out. And when our crew is out next, then they will be painted up. So they are imminent.
As long as they haven't all got COVID either.
Yeah. Well, it's going around, isn't it?
I can't seem to catch it.
Well, Charlie thought she couldn't catch it, and then she got it. But there you go.
Oh, but she's young. She probably thinks she's indestructible. Okay, what else are we getting? I'm just looking at my notes there. Oh, there was the Bayview Road, Monaco Road, Simon Road, Government Road intersection. Community wanted a stop sign there. Council staff say we have to wait till the review
of the public places bylaw.
When's that happening?
That is happening. In fact, they're having a hui this morning about that because they're getting prepared to go out for consultation. And I'm not quite sure what the time frame is for that. I might have a better idea after their hui this morning that staff are having because they have to pre-prepare the material and all of that. So it might be at the end of this year, actually, Aaron.
Okay, all right.
I'll have a better idea, hopefully, in my next interview of what those timeframes are.
Okay. And you've been working on some civil defence stuff. And we had the radio last night. We had a civil defence practice because we've got we can set up a radio station somewhere else. We've got all the offsite stuff. We've got a temporary mast and all that sort of stuff. So we had a go at that.
And did it work well?
Oh, we learnt a lot. So we'll actually be better prepared. I've got to go and buy some little doohickeys and this and that so that we've got all the things we need.
Little doohickeys.
So my daughter was going past going, I'm glad this isn't a real emergency.
It would be a shambles.
Thank you, Jordan, for the commentary there. But
well, Gabriel and I are meeting up and we're going to you know, it's been a process that we've been so busy doing other things that we really need to put some time aside. So Gabriel has put some time aside for us to look at our civil defence plan. And I think that we're in a really good space given what we've been doing with the COVID-19 response. And, you know, when we set that up, in early 2020. It wasn't necessarily around COVID-19, but obviously that's become a key driver of collaborating and working across the different organisations and groups within our community. But I really believe that we're in a good position to respond to many things that might happen.
Yeah.
And that because we're connected with so many organisations now, that reaching out, this is dependent on whether we have electricity or not, because that again will add a different lens to any response that we have. Because right now in COVID, we're able to meet online, but say if our power was compromised, what would that look like? We would have to have a place that we would need to meet, which would probably be up at Raglan Area School, dependent on the nature of what we're responding to.
Yes, the type of emergency.
Yeah. And so I think we'll be able to mobilise our community pretty quickly, depending on what the need is. I feel really quietly confident about being able to work together. Whatever might come our way, actually. And, I really, really think about what's happening over in Te Rāwhiti, and the impacts, what's happening over there. And we're so isolated over here, in our communities who are cut off from the greater parts of New Zealand now, with the bridges out.
Well, that was the thinking around setting up stuff with the radio station, because in a big civil defence emergency, the government can take over the commercial radio stations and get information out there, but they're not going to have specific information for our community. Just like in COVID, that there wasn't specific information nationally for what was happening here when we had the outbreak.
Yeah, and I think, and now we're better prepared for COVID, with being able to get a RATS test or even supervised RATS test, or working with Raglan Medical and other agencies across the region as well as locally. But, in a civil defence emergency, what would that look like if we had flooding? How would we support our community, and how can households themselves, we've talked about isolating at home for 7 days, and many of the things that people have had to consider whilst isolating are things that you would probably need for a civil defence emergency. But even more down to having things like fresh water available, if our water, as it did in previous years, the turbidity was so high that we had to truck water in, so having a supply of fresh water.
And that was because of an earthquake.
That was because...
We didn't feel that earthquake. It happened out to sea.
And then the turbidity,
but it was
and
enough.
We couldn't process it, so bringing that in. So, our community, for many people, they're prepared for isolating for 7 days, and we've focused on kai, but, in a civil defence, what does it look like if your electricity's out, having those gas bottles, or having access to tin food, dry clothing.
How many generators have we got in town?
That's a really good question.
We've got
I don't
two.
Know. I don't know. And I know out in the I could get one for my brother-in-law or for my nephew up on Te Hiriwai Road if we could have access to there. So, those are the types of things that we need to consider. And who do we contact if we needed a larger generator? Would it be Well Energy? How many do they have? So those are the considerations, eh? You look at the big picture and then go down to the minute detail of households and, those people who might be cut off. And it's likely that it will be our rural whānau, that will be isolated. And you see on the notice board out at Makomako or Timata, the power's down again.
Is it?
Not today.
Oh, not today.
I mean, over the
All
last
right.
couple of weeks,
yes.
The power's down.
It took a long
down.
Time to get it back out there, didn't it?
Yeah. But, previous years when I grew up out at Timakaka, we would be out of power for 3 or 4 days.
Even when I first came to Raglan in 2000, the power would go down a lot. And that year, I think they put in a new underground line along State Highway 23, and it's been reasonable since then.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's not that long ago that power outages were so common.
So common, and that they would last, you know, for like 3 or 4 days. And so it would be probably how do we support our rural community. But they usually, you know, the rural community is usually very self-sufficient.
A bit
anyway.
More resourceful.
But what if we didn't have the internet? What if we didn't have the regular notice board where we could put messaging out? That's when the radio becomes so integral, and that's where you have your little transistor radio battery run. It would be something important for your toolbox.
Or the car. I suspect a lot of people that the car might be the only option for picking up signals. But if
so
it,
those
if
are the bigger
the
picture
thing,
things. Yeah. You know, would it be that you had your wireless radio that each community has, and then it becomes you go to Te Mata School or you go to Te Mata Hall, and how do you get the comms out? So those are things that, you know, need to be considered, because we've become so accustomed to having quick access to phone lines, the internet. But, you know, the reality is we may not have that.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So, folks, we've been talking to our councillor, Lisa Thompson, and it's Friday morning. Got 5 minutes before the end of my show. Is there anything else you want to bring us this morning that you've been working on? We've covered quite a lot of ground.
We have. Just remember, folks, that the food waste consultation, curbside food waste consultation, closes today at 5 o'clock. So really encourage you to engage in that, and just stay really safe. And looking forward to catching up in 2 weeks' time, Aaron.